Tight budget have you going out less? Stretch your entertainment dollars by visiting a library in the newly formed Mountain Library Network. One card travels with you to libraries in 16 West Virginia counties. Stop by a participating library to sign up for your new card and to check out the benefits. Many libraries, one card does it all.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel, looking at 43 by early in the morning, with a few clouds lingering over our part of West Virginia for tonight. Except a few afternoon clouds, a pretty fair Tuesday with abundant sunshine, 68 the high. And we're getting a bit warmer as midweek approaches. Wednesday, look for partly cloudy conditions to persist with a high in the mid-70s, and back to 71 Thursday with an increased chance of rain.
The opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of News Talk 620 WWNR. WWNR Beckley.
Tonight's Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the 20,000 members of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, they're working for you. Now, Bob Kincaid.
Hey, good evening. Thank God it's Monday. We can pull through. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On, and,
psst. Hey, Governor Manchin. Yeah, you, Joe, come here. I got a little advice for you. Lean close. I don't want anybody to hear this. If you're pushing a bond deal that's going to put the state of West Virginia in $5.5 billion worth of debt for the next 30 years, and it's going to make the lawyers who sell the bonds $55 million off the people of West Virginia.
Don't buy a yacht!
Really? Did you catch that in the paper? Our governor, who has just kicked off a campaign to convince every West Virginian to run themselves up to $3,000 a year in debt on a bond issue that could cripple us, bought a yacht. That's how you do it.
Hey, Joe, come here. Listen. That's what we expect of Republicans. That's how Republicans act. Republicans buy yachts. Democrats eat beans and cornbread. They don't buy yachts. They don't buy yachts when the Medicaid budget just slashed all the money for buying Depends for old people in nursing homes. They don't buy yachts.
Listen. I like boats. I like Gilligan's Island. Gilligan lives in West Virginia. I'm a Jimmy Buffett fan. Son of a sailor. All that stuff. Really. So I got nothing against anybody buying a yacht. But it's, I don't know. Somehow it just smacks of not the right thing to do when you're trying to talk the entire state into going in hock again. Now, we got $800-some-odd per year, per person, per West Virginian of debt right now. And come June, we're going to the governor wants us to jack that up to nigh under $3,000 a person. Okay? Could affect our bond rating. Could affect our ability to incur debt in the future. And, don't tell anybody, but just like the rest of the third world, if we have economic troubles in the future, that bond debt is, by God, going to get serviced. the bond debt will get serviced before anything else does. And, of course, I'm not kidding, the commission on bond sales is traditionally a point. Ask your local real estate professional what a point is, or a banker what a point is. A point is 1% of the sale price. Quick, you do the math. What's 1% of 5.5 billion dollars? That's right. 1% of 5.5 billion is 55 million. Now, there's probably not enough bond lawyers in West Virginia to make up a 10-man pickup basketball game. If there are that many, there aren't enough for a good 18-man softball game. Do the math again. $55 million for commissions on the sale of our debt. Man, good work if you can get it. And the governor buys a yacht. And he also flew down on the state plane to pick up said yacht. Yes, he reimbursed the state for the cost of the plane down and back, yeah. But it was still out of commission in case anybody else needed to use it. You know, say there had been an emergency when a state official had to go somewhere. No, because Governor Joe was off buying a yacht. Now, you may think I'm being hard on the man. This is just good advice. Again, let me repeat myself. If you're trying to convince people who struggle to make their monthly budget, who struggle to pay the power bill, who struggle to pay the gas bill, who like the little creature comforts of telephones and cable TV, who struggle to pay the water bill, and still keep groceries on the table and gas in the tank, if you want to convince that group that they need to take on additional debt that will hang like millstones about their necks for the next 30 years, and in fact, which will be inherited by their children, you don't go out and buy a yacht. You don't go out and buy a 55-foot Sea Ray of guesstimated cost $500,000. You don't even do that if you're splitting it foursies with three of your buddies, one of whom has a felony conviction. You don't do it. You just don't do it. Now, it's going to look bad after you've gotten the bond debt passed in June. It's going to look bad if you go buy the yacht then. It's going to look bad if you buy the yacht while you're in office. But if hell simply will not hold you without you buy that yacht, don't do it before the bond issue. Because, you see, Joe, can I call you Joe? There are people out here in Wild Wonderful who have trouble keeping their cars on the road. There are people out here in Wild Wonderful for whom having the transmission go bad can mean the destruction of their entire family because they can't get to work anymore and they can't afford the new tranny. There are people out here in Wild Wonderful who are making choices between gasoline and groceries. And these are the people you want to take on this bond debt, right? Right. So, Joe, when you're pushing this credit card scheme, buddy, don't slap the beans and cornbread crowd in the face with your shiny new yacht. I'm Bob Kincaid.
I'm sorry. calls for the virgin sea. Ahead of me, on board I'm the captain, so climb aboard. We'll search for tomorrow on every shore, and I'll try.
Hi, this is Linda Luger, Executive Director of the United Way of Southern West Virginia. On Thursday, May 19th, from 6 to 9 p.m., the United Way and the Women's Resource Center will be sponsoring Celebrity Night in Raleigh, Fayette, and Nicholas counties. Celebrities from the local communities will be waiting tables, and all tips and donations go to the United Way and the Women's Resource Center. Make plans to join us for dinner at Applebee's, Black Knight Country Club, Foster's, or Pasquale's in Raleigh County. In Fayette County, visit Dirty Ernie's Rib Pit, Sedona Grill, Three Gables, or the Glenfarris Inn in Fayette County. Enjoy yourself in Nicholas County at Applebee's, Caledonia, or the Food Box. Make a lasting impression on your community by participating in Celebrity Night on Thursday, May 19th. Celebrity Night is underwritten by WOAY-TV in Oak Hill and Quick Prince in Beckley.
From the National Institutes of Health, this is HealthBeat. May is High Blood Pressure Education Month. Dr. Daniel Jones, Dean of the School of Medicine at the University of Mississippi Medical Center, explains why we all need to know more about high blood pressure.
In this country, we have many, many people with high blood pressure. We recognize the risk. We recognize that both lifestyle and medication approaches can help control high blood pressure. And yet, of people with high blood pressure, fewer than 35% have their blood pressure controlled to goal levels of less than 140 over 90.
Blood pressure greater than 140 over 90 is clearly defined as hypertension. That's when the heart has to work harder to pump blood through the body. The extra work may eventually lead to heart failure.
We simply need to focus during the month of May on trying to get all of us to take seriously the possibility of controlling blood pressure in every patient.
For more information, visit health.nih.gov and search the phrase High Blood Pressure Education Month. I'm Phil Stevenson for HealthBeat.
He's got a brain, and he's not afraid to use it. Liberally, of course. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 19 minutes after 7 o'clock. It's so good to be back with you this week. Hey, some good news. Got the tiller running. Started working on the garden for about, 2.5 minutes before a trip to Spark Web. It's so inspiring. You heard the notice about guest waiter night or celebrity waiter night. Yeah, celebrity. Woo-hoo. A reminder, I'm going to be this Thursday night. I will be at the Sedona Grill in Fayetteville. Reservations are suggested because they draw a big crowd for this one. And I'm going to have a heck of a good time at the crab cakes, the steak. The Sedona Grill's crab cakes are the best between here and the Maryland shore, and better than some on the Maryland shore. They're with this beautiful mustard cream stuff, yum. Come on out. You're going to enjoy yourself. The menu is always exquisite. So that's this Thursday, May 19th, from 6 to 9 p.m. Come on by. We'll have a blast. Give them a call. You're liberal. You're progressive. You're intelligent. You know how to use a phone book. Find the number. Give them a call. I'll look it up, too. Later. I just didn't have time. Meanwhile, also, Candyman and JQ from Groovy 94 are going to be at Applebee's here in Beckley. Kathy St. John and Natasha Ginsburg from 103 CIR are going to be at Pasquale's. And Foster's will feature Cowboy Will and Valerie Fox from Power Country 105.9 and our own Bert Hill, who is, all of the stations like to think of him as our own. So try any one of the above, but of course I bear particular allegiance to my friends at Sedona Grill. To the phones. 252-6200 is the phone number. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. Michelle is with us. Hey, Michelle, you're head on.
Hi, Bob.
How are you?
What does the celebrity night, what do the proceeds go to?
They go to the United Way and the Women's Resource Center.
Okay, cool. I might have to chuck my ankle bracelet and go down the foster.
if you're ever going to do it, that's a night for it.
Well, yeah, you know, I'll just put it on one of my dogs and nobody will know the difference. But the governor bought a yacht, a 55-foot. I missed the beginning of your program,
and
I came in late. He bought a yacht.
He bought a yacht.
A 55-foot yacht.
A 55-foot Sea Ray yacht.
Okay, and what's the draft on this, do you know?
No, but I do know it's got a master suite and a couple of extra bedrooms.
Okay, where is he going to motor it in West Virginia?
Apparently up and down the Kanawha.
Okay, what's the Kanawha? Is that like the canal?
Yeah, I'm joking. Yeah, the canal.
Well, I don't know whether you're, because that's what I used to call it when I first called it. Well, I'm like, the Kanawha!
Yeah, guess what? It's what the Indians called it, too.
Well, that's what he's going to do.
Yep.
Okay, why?
As we speak, Michelle, it is moored at the Kanawha Marina.
And why do we have to pay for it?
Oh, we're not paying for it. He paid for it himself. Don't get me wrong.
Okay, that's what I'm calling to.
Yeah, no. I didn't say, no, I never said the thing.
There's a bond issue?
But, yeah, he's trying to convince poor bean-eating West Virginians to support,
like
his, yeah, to support his bond issue, but he has money to run around buying yachts with. It doesn't make for a pretty picture. I mean, I'm putting this out there just because Republicans are going to eat this alive.
Wait a minute. I'm lost as far as the bond issue, and maybe you can't go into that.
I'll be happy to go into it.
How does the bond issue reflect on his getting a yacht?
Because it simply does not look good, Michelle. When you are trying to tell poor West Virginians to run their annual debt up to about $3,000 a year for this bond issue.
Who's telling West Virginians to run their annual debt up?
Okay, let me run back to A.
Thanks. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. We're going to have a little election in June, Michelle.
A little one?
Yeah.
In June?
Yeah.
For who?
For this bond issue.
Well, I'm a voter.
And
will I be notified?
You just were.
I'm in. Will I be notified? If I want listening to you, because I don't get a paper, because
you would never know about that. And they would
is
be
that correct?
Right, and they would be happier if you would just stay the hell away
from
the people who are going to vote for it.
That's the first thing that's wrong.
Okay, so let's go ABC on this. A, there's going to be an election for a bond issue, okay?
Unless they listen to you.
Michelle, honey, there's going to be a bond issue election. That bond is going to be to finance pension debt in this state.
Pension debt?
Correct.
Okay, which means minors and...
No, state employees.
State employees?
Yes, ma'am.
What about the minors?
What about them? They're screwed. I mean, now look, people are going to think I'm unsympathetic, but I mean, it's just how it is.
I don't think they're going to think you're unsympathetic. I think maybe they'll think that you're truthful.
You know, I mean, they got their pension sold out from under them at the auction when Massey bought Horizon Energy. Okay, they're
just
done.
Just like what's going on with
United and Polaroid. And Gillette. That'll probably happen there too.
And where the CEOs are making millions.
And on this bond debt, it's going to be 5.5.
Okay, back to the bond debt. Yeah. Back to A. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's going
to
be $5.5 billion. Okay.
Are we still on A?
But more or less, yeah, that's what this bond is. This is $5.5 billion in bonds.
Okay, which...
For 30 years.
Who has the bonds?
Well, we'll sell them.
Who has them?
We have them. We're going to create them.
West Virginians have them.
No.
Who?
The government.
Okay, the government.
The government is going to... If you go and you vote yes on this, the government's going to go and borrow something around $5.5 billion.
Our West Virginian government.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
And in support of that debt, to pay that debt off, they're going to sell bonds. $5.5 billion worth of bonds that we're going to be paying for.
Okay, so we're going to borrow $5 million.
No, honey, billion.
Billion with a B.
Billion? Billion?
Billion.
And then we're going to sell bonds?
That or Girl Scout cookies, yeah, whichever the voters decide on.
Okay.
And we're going to sell those bonds, and out of selling those bonds, we're going to pay the lawyers who sell them for us $55 million.
Why do we have to do this?
Because we're being told that, we just got to.
No. I'm asking you, not what we're being told, why do we have to do this?
Well, if you're asking me, Michelle, then yes. I'm going to tell you we damned well don't have to. The debt is the debt is the debt is the debt. And we're going to have that debt, and it's going to cost us over time, any way you slice it. Now, we're being told it's going to save us money to sell these bonds. But you know what? It smells like those ads you get about pay off your home loan today with these fancy credit card checks that we're providing you in the mail.
Right. Yeah,
Okay.
Okay. Now, are we going on to B?
No. I'm just streaming it together for you, honey. It's all. It's A, it's B, we're in C, we might be in F by now.
You know how slow I am. You know you've got to do A, B, and C for me.
But you've got it so far, right?
Okay,
let's run back. We're going to go to the polls. We're going to go vote yes or no on whether or not we're going to allow the state government to indebt itself to the tune of $5.5 billion to sell these bonds to indebt the state for 30 years.
Okay,
and what is
$5.5 billion going to do for West Virginians?
Pay off pension debt.
Pension debt, okay, which would be...
pension monies that we have got, you know, judges, state troopers, teachers, those kind of folks.
Okay, so that's for state
right.
workers.
Right.
Okay, go on.
Okay, so we're going to be in debt for 30 years, and the amount of that debt is going to average out to close to $3,000 per West Virginian, from little bitty newborn West Virginians to ancient, about-to-die West Virginians.
Okay, pardon me, let me go back.
$3,000 a year for 30 years.
Let me go back for just a second. What happened to the money that these people put into their pension plans?
No. It's the money the government promised to put into the pension plans.
Oh, wait. I thought that if you were in the state's employee, you contributed to your pension plan.
You certainly do.
So what happened to that?
That's still there.
Okay.
It's
so,
the part that the state was supposed to contribute that had been kind of, crossed their fingers on.
The state defaulted.
No, it hasn't defaulted yet.
As long as they can borrow money.
You're catching on real quick.
Okay. Next.
Michelle, either way, honey, we got to pay this debt. This is a debt that we owe to these people because we made a contractual arrangement with them.
We, by saying we, you're saying the government.
We, the people of the state of West Virginia, who employ these people by virtue of the taxes that we pay.
Okay, all right.
Okay. We have promised them a pension.
Yes.
Now, that pension has to be paid hell or high water.
Right.
Okay. Now, the question is...
I would tend to agree.
The question is, are you going to do like you and me have to do and manage a budget and pay as you go? Or are you going to go, hey, everybody, look at this new credit card that I've got in the mail. I bet I don't even have to pay it back. Because, you see, when a 55-year-old guy or whatever like Joe Manchin is, like most of the leaders of this state are, when they say we're going to run the debt up, they don't mean we like in they. They mean we like in you and me who are still going to be working. Because you know what? It is free money to them because they're going to be retired soon.
And we're going to be paying their pension.
And we're going to be the ones holding the bag.
And paying everybody else.
Because I keep saying, and I think this is a fairly simple concept, and I'm not talking down. I think this is a fairly simple concept, Michelle. A guy who is in his 50s has no business incurring debt for a baby in the cradle. Does that make sense?
Well, considering the life expectancy and considering that we have to work now longer, I don't know, a guy in his 50s can work 20 more years.
Yeah.
What do you think?
But he's still incurring debt in the name of somebody in the cradle. We got a brand new workers' comp debt. I'm going to work for the rest of my life to pay off that workers' comp debt because a bunch of deadbeat damn coal companies can't be bothered to pay their premiums.
Rats.
Yeah. We're screwed again. Now,
You do get to go to the polls in June and tell them, yeah, run up the credit card debt, Joe, or, hey, no, I don't think that's so smart.
I'm not understanding the credit card debt thing. That's the whole thing.
It's debt in the future. It's debt you're paying interest on, honey. You ever had a credit card?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Then you understand.
Yeah?
This is like having a credit card with a $5.5 billion limit on it, and we want to spend it all at one time.
No, they're going to get it from us by some taxes.
Yes!
Oh, okay, all right. You should have said that in the first place.
Okay, my bad. We got to roll.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Michelle.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, bottom of the hour break. Come back. More of your phone calls. 252-6200. Outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. Rising gas prices are making it very difficult for ambulance companies to continue serving rural sections, and the companies want to charge insurers a higher mileage reimbursement rate. Ambulance squads are paid a base rate for transporting patients with an adjustment for mileage. Coalition President Rover Bryant says most insurers have not increased their mileage rate in more than 5 years. Gas prices in West Virginia have averaged over $2 a gallon this month. Charges are abound in the state, especially in the insurance industry. Insurers throughout the state are now lowering their rates as a result of the judicial reform legislation passed during the regular session. State Insurance Commissioner Jane Klein says some big-name companies, such as State Farm and Allstate, have already announced lower rates, and she hopes this will spur smaller companies to do the same. West Virginia's draft renewal application for a Medicaid waiver program that serves mentally retarded and developmentally disabled clients is being postponed until tomorrow. State Bureau of Medical Services Commissioner Nancy Atkins says the state hopes to help more clients and make the program more self-directed. It's the end of the year, but the workload isn't getting any easier for West Virginia school students. Students throughout the state took the annual West test today. Director of State Office of Student Assessment Services, Dr. Jan Barth, says the test was used to evaluate a number of skills students are expected to learn throughout the school year. The Sunday Gazette Mail reported yesterday that West Virginia's former Homeland Security chief was fired from a previous security job at a chemical company over questions about purchasing. Neil Sharp was fired from Roan Polunk in 1998, according to a wrongful termination lawsuit Sharp filed against the company. He had been the Institute plant's emergency response coordinator. For the rest of this evening, partly cloudy and very chilly. Temperatures now around 50. Tonight clear with a low 40. Tomorrow partly cloudy with a high mid-60s. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
His humor was wickedly irreverent. It was dangerous ground for a television star. His story next on Biography for Radio.
America is a country of entrepreneurs, and if you're a small business owner, you're helping shoulder the lion's share of the U.S. economy. You can lighten that load a little at Sam's Club. When you shop at Sam's Club, you get everyday low costs on products you need every day. After all, while you may be carrying around the weight of the American economy, you shouldn't have to do all the heavy lifting by yourself. Sam's Club. We are in business for small business.
In his teens, he often laughed about politics. He loved his country, he said, but he despised some of the hypocrisy he saw around him. For 10 years, he was a stand-up comic, doing the rounds in clubs across America. His humor was cutting and often controversial. In fact, he claims to have been the first comedian to make a joke about AIDS. But he got a few television appearances, and finally, in 1992, he shot for the top. He approached the Comedy Central Network with an idea for a new television series. To his delight, it was accepted, and the tussled-haired comedian's career took off. Later, the show was picked up by ABC. For 9 years, he tackled political issues with offbeat jokes that appealed widely to Democrats. But when the World Trade Center was attacked by terrorists in 2001, he went too far. He made remarks that were criticized as unpatriotic and callous. The show's sponsors were appalled. Soon after, ABC took him off the air. But in 2003, he was back. Cable network HBO gave him a new show, and in no time, his poisonous barbs were flying again. Formerly the host of Politically Incorrect, he's now giving audiences his real-time look at the world around us. Comedian Bill Maher. For Biography, I'm Lawrence Scott.
Biography is a trademark of A&D.
Hello?
Hi, Bill? This is George Dewey from up the street.
Oh, hey, George. How you doing?
Good, good. Say, I noticed you've been walking to work these days instead of driving, and I don't quite know how to say this, but...
But what?
But your butt. Your butt, I think I found your butt in my front lawn. Have you recently lost it?
As a matter of fact, I have, George. It's about time someone noticed.
Well, it was kind of hard to miss, if you know what I mean. Anyways, would you like it back?
Would I like it back? No, not really.
So it's okay if I throw it out?
Sure, that's fine. Take it easy, George.
Small step number 8. Walk instead of driving whenever you can. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
WWNR Beckley.
A man who just loves conservatives, baked, boiled, or fried. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 22 minutes before 8 o'clock and straight to the phones. 252-6200 outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. We've got Jose. Hey, Jose, you head on. How are you?
Bob.
Yes, sir.
Can we make it another week?
Only if we go at it day by day.
All right. I've been enjoying your show.
Well, thank you.
On this year, Animal Sex.
Oh, God. Yeah.
That was a tough one.
It was.
But it's in the Bible, and it's called bestiality.
Yes, it is. And the fellow that was talking about it came out last week and said...
From Georgia.
Yeah, and said, sure, it's absolutely A-okay.
Well, it's wrong.
Yes, it is.
Nobody called you and told you that's where syphilis got its start, was from sheep.
That's true.
I don't know, most people don't know that.
You know, I like girls. I never saw the attraction myself, Jose.
Well, ain't nothing wrong with having girlfriends.
Yeah, it's the sheep friends that bother me.
Yeah, but ain't that as low as we can go, Bob?
No, there's probably one step lower they could go, and that's the dead.
Yeah. I know it's spread all over the earth, this... See, they've done away with syphilis and things. Last time I was at one of the health centers, they was epidemic. But see, it's AIDS now.
Mm-hmm. Well, but syphilis and gonorrhea and herpes and all that stuff, they're not gone.
They're cousins.
Oh, sure they are. Sure they are.
Yeah. Well, I just thought I'd call and tell you to keep coping and hope y'all be blessed.
And you too, Jose, as ever.
And have a good night, Bob.
Thank you, Jose. Always good to hear from you.
All right. Bye.
And Jeff. Hey, Jeff, you head on.
Hello, sir.
Hey, how are you?
Fine. How are you?
Doing great.
Found something we can agree on. This pond, the bomb pension thing.
The yacht business.
Yeah.
Did you catch the yacht business?
Yeah, I know.
Did it just make you want to run around the room screaming? Oh, thanks.
How was that, Ben?
Yeah.
I don't know what that
meant. Oh, we're making all kinds of fun sounds here tonight.
The thing about the bar and the money is that we would be paying $250 million on interest. That's something that we're not paying right now.
Right. And as far as I'm concerned, interest is money thrown away.
Yeah, absolutely. And you got to think about it like this as well. You know, you're against investing people's retirement money in the stock market, right?
Right.
Well, how would you be for borrowing money and investing it in the stock market? If you can't make money...
That's like kiting checks.
That's like putting money on a credit card and going to buy lottery tickets with it.
Or I mean, and this happens every day, whipping out your credit card for a cash advance at the old ATM in Vegas.
Mm-hmm. You know, the market would have to go up probably 5% to break even on it.
If you look at the Social Security numbers, we're talking about...
4.8 or something?
No, we're talking about growth, double-digit growth. You know, 10% and above every year.
For what?
In order for the Bush invest in the stock market thing plan.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Yeah,
I mean, have to make that much.
The numbers are out there. They are what they are. By the time you deal with the commissions and the taxes.
Well, the commission, you're not making a commission unless you're moving it around a lot.
So no. Back up. Let's use the state bond debt as an example, Jeff. This bond sale is going to generate a 1% commission for the lawyers who sell the bonds.
But that's for bonds.
It's a transaction.
But you don't have bond fees buying stocks.
Well, I thought we were going to have a diverse portfolio that moved you from risky to safe.
But that's not going from bonds.
Sure. Bonds are deemed the very safest of investments.
And you have a choice.
But
you're not paying
anyway.
You're not paying interest on your Social Security money, Bob. Good Lord.
You're supposedly earning it. Look at the numbers, Jeff. You'll find out that the growth that you have to have runs into double digits.
Mm-hmm. How much would it have to be for the state deal to work out? 15?
God. Well, no. The thing that kills me about the state deal, Jeff, is that. The quote from Governor Manchin that I heard, he said, you know, what really scares me about the debt as it now stands is what happens if we hit an economic downturn.
Oh, yeah. That would be bad.
Well, consider what happens if we've got this bond debt and we hit an economic downturn.
It'd be even worse than
that. Because that bond debt is going to get serviced.
Yeah.
I mean, if we have to start firing state employees, canceling state services, that bond debt is going to come first, and it is going to get serviced above all else.
Mark Burnett claims that there's only a few lawyers that are state authorized to do this.
Oh yeah, it's a real tiny club,
and they're very politically connected,
and they are very rich.
So you know that's you know, and he says that the $55 million commission would pay a $25,000 annual pension to 2,200 teachers.
Now, I missed that part, but that's a heck of a note.
You know.
Yeah.
It's a very risky thing now, I'm telling you, because on top of your interest.
Well, look, I mean the number that is easiest for most people to digest and is apparently a solid number coming out of the New York bond houses. Right now, our bond debt as West Virginians, like I was telling Michelle, from little bitty newborns to almost ready to die, our bond debt is around $800-900 a person per year. This deal in June is going to run it to around $3,000.
And plus, you got to see through the talk, hear through the talk. They're talking, you know, Bob Kiss is saying, well, you know, we've got all this pension bond debt, and if we borrow this $5.5 billion, poof, it's gone. But it's not really gone.
Well, it's pension debt right now. It's not bond debt.
Pension debt. Okay.
Oh, you misspoke.
Yeah.
Okay. It's pension debt.
They try to act like if we borrow this money that the debt's just gone. It's a miracle. It's gone.
Yeah. And
so we're going to have to pay all that money back.
Well, sure we are.
Plus, Joe Manchin's throwing out the thing, too, that if he's throwing out the scare tactic, if we don't pass this, we're going to raise taxes to pay it. Have you caught that too?
Well, that may be necessary at some point.
Well, they're going to
But you know what, Jeff?
Mm-hmm.
That is more dangerous. He's not scared of that because he cares about you and me. He's scared of that because that endangers his political existence.
Mm-hmm.
Now, frankly, if you're a pay-as-you-go kind of guy and you're a responsible West Virginian and everybody is paying their way and nobody's getting special treatment, If you've got a debt, you've got to pay it, right?
Right.
And if that requires an increase in taxes to do that, then that's what's got to happen because you are the state of West Virginia and it is your obligation.
Well, one thing we've got to get into a habit of doing right away on the state, on the federal, corporate level, every single level, all these pension and retirement plans, we have got to start having rules that say you fund them as you go. We can't let this, you know. And
we used to have, Jeff,
hmm?
Sorry, man, hate to, we used to have rules like that.
Yeah.
They kind of died out in 1986 under Ronnie Reagan.
Well, I heard it was 74.
Well,
the president of the chief financial officer of the Pension Guarantee Corporation was on the radio today. He was saying that in 74 they started that rule, the Pension Guarantee Corporation, and that's what got the whole thing started.
Well,
he claims, and plus we haven't had a
rolling monies out of real live honest to God pensions into Wall Street schemes played a little bit of a part in that.
Well, the thing is, they're not putting the money in there, and plus with the Pension Guarantee Corporation, they haven't had a, that's an insurance thing.
Just like the FDIC and the...
like your house. You know, has your house insurance and your car insurance went up since 1994?
Yeah.
Well, the rate that corporations in America pay to the Pension Guarantee Corporation has not had an increase since 1994, and they're taking in around $1 billion a year. And the airline, what is it, United?
Yeah.
That's $10.5 billion, that one alone. And they're supposed to pay $10.5 billion on $1 billion coming in. And there's the Bush administration is coming up with a plan that's supposed to address all this. They have to get permission through Congress to raise their rates. And in the Bush plan, they're supposed to, see, they can't,
in other words,
go grab CEO money from their, you know, people working are complaining because their pensions are not funded and the CEOs are walking away with millions. The Bush plan allows them to take that CEO money to not let them do that anymore, too.
Yeah, but it won't do that to United, and it won't do that to Weirton Steel or Wheeling Pit or whatever.
Well, there's
it won't
a
do that
bunch
to
of Bethlehem.
In other words, it's just like after WorldCom and Enron and Tyco. They said, oh, we're going to get tough on corporate crooks. And then, of course, it all disappeared. This is another classic case of the Bush administration closing the barn door after all the horses are gone.
Jeff, I got
to roll on now. I got people on hold.
Take it easy.
And Jim. Hey, Jim, you're head on.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing good.
All I got to say is this.
Yeah, that's just bad.
You know, I want to tell you something. Let me correct something.
Okay.
1974 was the year the Pension Guarantee Corporation was established as a federal agency.
Yeah, came into existence.
1986 is the date, like you said, when the ship hit the sand. Okay?
Yeah.
So let's get that straight. And people who get on the air ought to have the facts straight and their dates straight.
Well, 1986 is when the tax reform went through. And these corporate pirates were allowed to raid pensions.
When Safe Harbor came into the stuff and the other stuff that Paul's been talking about in all the other talk shows, right?
Right.
So let's get that straight. And as far as Bush is concerned, I don't know what kind of deal he's going to pull to help out working people and get their pensions back. I don't think that's in his purview.
Working people can't stand much more help from George Bush.
I mean, you know, really, I mean, if that's help, I mean, you know, it's like, you know, with friends like that, who needs an enemy?
Precisely.
I want to ask you another thing. You know, all these other people, these celebrities are going to be working at these restaurants.
Yeah.
Including yourself, which I think is great. Well, what about the morning host? Is he too good to do that? Or would he scare everybody away?
Nah, I don't know.
I'll tell you, if I walked to the restaurant and saw him, I wouldn't eat a coconut roll through there. Stevie O'Brien.
You're a cruel man, Jim.
What a jerk.
You're a cruel man.
No, I'm just telling the truth. Guys,
in all honesty, Jim, I watch out for this thing every year because the Women's Resource Center is something I care about.
I know you do. And you're civic minded. I appreciate that, Bob.
And these folks at Sedona. Now, I didn't get to wait tables at Sedona Grill last year. I was down at Glen Ferris Inn.
Okay.
But this year, I mean, they're friends of mine, Brian and Jenny, and the rest of the gang at Sedona Grill. And I said, hey, this year, come on, do me right. So they made a special effort to make sure that I did.
and I'm just tickled to death, and I think it's going to be an absolute blast. And the food is as good as you're going to get anywhere between here and the Greenbrier.
Well, I'll tell you something. Waiting tables is kind of a hard thing to do, and that's a credible service. I commend.
I've done it in another life, and I've tended bar in another life.
I know. Been there, done that too. I've done a lot of things. Listen, on this debt that's going to be voted on in June, you say?
Yeah.
Okay, now, this debt's going to be, what's the ROI on that thing? Return on investment.
Yeah, I'm not fully sure. All I know is the front end number is like $5.5 million.
Okay.
$5.5 billion in bonds. I know the commission is going to be $55 million.
Okay.
And I don't know what the rate's going to be.
Well, in other words, they're selling these bonds in order to make the state employees' retirement fund solvent, correct?
Correct.
Because the state has not kept its end of the bargain as far as done other things with their portion of their retirement that they should not have done, correct?
Yeah, they've just sort of let it run, and they've made, well, what?
So this pension fund right now is an unfunded liability.
Absolutely.
And this bond issue, plus raising taxes, is the only way that they're going to be able to provide these state employees with any kind of retirement, correct?
Right.
Well, that's a hell of a note. Now, these bonds...
it's a hell of a note that this is being done to... don't get me wrong. Cecil Underpants tried to do this. Bob Wise tried to do this, but now, as I think maybe it was Mark Brunette in the Sunday Beckley paper noted, he thinks, time out, Governor Manchin thinks he has the political clout and swing going with him right now that he can be the guy who gets it through.
I see. He can take his political capital and make it work, right?
Right.
Well, you know, now my experience with bonds is basically there's only a certain class of people who can afford to really invest in bonds, okay, and make money on them.
Right.
And those are your upper classes, correct?
Sure. I mean, we're not talking about savings bonds here.
No, I know that. We're talking about a 30-year investment.
In a significant denomination.
And I would say the ROI is going to have to be a minimum of 5%.
At least, yeah.
Okay.
And I mean, right now, it's my understanding we have a concrete, rock solid bond rating in this state because we've been really, really persnickety about what we ran up bond debt on. And some of the stuff I read a couple of weeks ago indicates that if we pass this, this could drive our bond rating down. Because we're going to be about as extended as West Virginia is deemed to be extendable.
Well, now, the state has, now, if they've been fiduciarily, responsible, this money that they're supposed to, or their portion that they're supposed to contribute to these employees' retirement funds, it should be there. There shouldn't be a need to borrow $5.5 billion, should there?
You win. Yeah.
Well, now, I thought that money was fenced. Or is all money green? That's a term in federal.
I know.
You have fence appropriations.
Yeah.
And then you have certain things where you have no borders, okay? And I thought that there was a cordon sanitaire established around that money.
No, what we're dealing with here, Jim, is we are dealing with future debt that is going to be paid come hell or come high water.
Well, I know that. What I'm saying is, if they had been keepers of the public trust, this money would be there, and it should be drawing accruing interest for these pensioners.
Yes, it should.
But it's not there. It's been misspent.
It is not there in the sufficiency that it's supposed to be. And, whether it was misspent, I'm not certain. It's my understanding, it hasn't been put there when it was supposed to be put there. George likes to talk about that drawer full of IOUs that are actually T-bills. Well, in Charleston, there's a drawer full of IOUs that are actually IOUs.
Well, Bob, you know, isn't that kind of like a word. It's called embezzlement.
Shifty, shady. Yeah. It's not smart guy.
I mean, you know, a rose is a rose is a rose, as Gertrude Stein once said. And, you know, if it looks like a duck, it walks like a duck, and talks like a duck, when you take money that's appropriated for a certain purpose and you use it for something else, that's what I call misappropriation of funds or embezzlement.
You could make that argument, Jim. But the thing that I understand is it doesn't even rise to the level of embezzlement because the money was never appropriated. You know, we needed a new this or a new that, or, you know, it went to this department or that, and it just wasn't put in there. And so consequently, you know, the first year you go, well, we'll make it up next year. So on year two, well, we'll make up year two and year one and year three. And as the number gets bigger, well, the best analogy I can come up with, Jim, it's like getting in trouble with your credit cards.
Well, you know, you tell people you're going to do something as far as their retirement plan is concerned, and then you turn around and you do something else, that is not morally or legally right.
No, it's not.
And then when you have to turn around, and then you have to provide people who are wealthy enough to invest in these bonds to give them a return on their investment long enough to sink something in the 30-year period before the bonds mature.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the maturation date, 30 years?
30 years is my understanding, yes.
Okay, so that'll give their children or grandchildren something that they can inherit. So, I mean, you know, and that's going to place money in the hands of wealthier people. And then, as you say, this debt is going to be serviced come hell or high water and give number one priority. And the state will have to figure out.
So what we're engaging in is income redistribution, isn't it?
Well, that's what I was driving at.
Yeah. And
basically, you send it all up to another higher class of people.
And of course, right-wingers scream, ooh, communism, if you give from the rich to the poor. But by God, if you hang $5.5 billion worth of debt on a state whose people's median income is something on the order of, what, 20, 25 grand maybe?
Not even that.
And so we're redistributing that income upwards to the Lark's Vomit Canapé crowd.
That's okay.
And that's not communism. That's Americanism. And that makes me want to vomit, Jim.
No, it's not Americanism. I could say what it is, but
fascism, come on.
Well, basically what it is, it's capitalist extortion.
And here's the beautiful part of it.
Or capitalistic extortion.
With the estate tax going dead, guess what?
All that money's mortmain. It's in dead hand. It goes nowhere.
Right, and there's, it does not a damn bit of good for anybody except the rich that we gave it to. And they will not pay a penny's tax on it.
And the rich are going to get richer, and the poor are going to get poorer.
And they'll be pie in the sky when you die.
Lordy, lordy, lordy. That's a mess, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But, see, I'm going to catch hell from my good Democrat friends because, as a Democrat, I'm supposed to be supporting Joe Manchin's initiative. But you know what? I got my morals come first.
Well, I mean, you know, he really had a lot of gall to take a state plane and fly it down over to where?
Mobile. That'll be Mobile, Alabama.
So he has...
Well, the azaleas are blooming down there right now, Brother Jim.
He has a timeshare and a yacht or a yacht, as they would call it.
Mm-hmm. What do you say? I like things with big engines that make noise.
I see.
This ain't got no sails. Hey, Jim.
Well, maybe with this hurricane season coming up, he might be glad. He might wish he went down there one day.
He's sailing. Hey, he must be a heck of a sailor. He came straight up the Mobile River, up the Tennessee Tom Bigby Waterway, Cumberland River and the Ohio, and boom, you know.
It's here?
Yeah, it's in hey, we're really out of here. Gotta go, Jim.
Okay.
This is WWNR, News Talk 620 AM, Beckley, West Virginia. This is Head On.
Tight budget have you going out less? Stretch your entertainment dollars by visiting a library in the newly formed Mountain Library Network. One car travels with you to libraries in 16 West Virginia counties. Stop by a participating library to sign up for your new card and to check out the benefits. Many libraries, one card does it all.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel, looking at 43 by early in the morning, with a few clouds lingering over our part of West Virginia for tonight. Except a few afternoon clouds, a pretty fair Tuesday with abundant sunshine, 68 the high. We're getting a bit warmer as midweek approaches. Wednesday, look for partly cloudy conditions to persist with a high in the mid-70s and back to 71 Thursday with an increased chance of rain.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back.
Wow, where did that hour go? Sure was a fun one, though. The phone number is 252-6200. Outside Beckley is 800-620-9967. That spells WWNR. You know that. Learn it, know it, use it. Bob at headonradio.com, of course, is the email. And you can use that at your leisure. We stream live on the Internet at WWNRNewsTalk620.com. Go there. Listen in if the signal gets too weak for you to pick up or if you're just too far away to ever get the signal in the first place. And, of course, there's a portal there to my website, headonradio.com. You can join in the message boards there and have a doozy of a good time, and it's all free. Also, of course, a reminder, Ben Birch at whiterosesociety.org archives the program every night. He's in a fundraising mode. He doesn't charge us a penny for what he does. He relies on the goodwill of the folks who take advantage of his service. So please think of Ben as you make use of the service he provides. Let's go straight to the phones. Michelle is back with us. You had a follow-up, Michelle?
Yeah, I'm so sorry. Thank you for being so patient.
Well,
with
you're not sorry.
Okay, say that I am not opposed to funding state employees' pension plans through taxes.
Right.
Right?
Because that's what we do.
What does buying a yacht have to do with that?
Again, it looks bad. When you're trying to convince the beans and cornbread crowd to pay, I mean, did you hear Jim the way he described it? We are redistributing wealth from poor people to rich people via these bonds.
Well, we have always redistributed wealth from poor people to rich people.
Not with as much alacrity as this, Michelle.
Well, yes, considering the United and all that stuff. Yes, you're right. But I want to know if I am going to vote on this.
You don't vote based on the yacht.
No. But if I am going to vote, which I will, I need to have more information. And what I need to know is I am not averse to contributing to my state employees' pension fund.
As you do every year when you pay your state taxes.
What is a boat? What is buying a boat? I still don't get that.
I can't say it any plainer than how I said it, Michelle. It looks bad, okay? It makes the governor look like a silk suit elitist.
I don't care about the governor.
Well, he's the one who wants the bond issue, okay? It's his baby. You understand? It's his baby.
Obviously not.
Okay. It's his. Well, you didn't. Well, I don't know. Maybe
right,
you missed
right,
the forest
right.
for the
I'm
trees.
I'm going to listen to more of your callers and more of your show, and then I'll. Like I said, I'm so sorry.
Michelle, don't apologize. I mean, a lively discussion is what this is about. But I don't know how I can make it any more plain. Let me see. Let me fish around here and see if I can come up with a quick analogy. If you're telling people that you're so broke you can't afford to pay your power bill, coming home in a new Porsche doesn't look good. Does that make any sense to you? Or a new Cadillac or a new Mercedes. If you're saying that you can't pay the power bill,
it's like these people on welfare who come home with a Cadillac, right?
Well, that's a myth.
But
it's along those lines. If you are telling the people of this state that they need to tighten their belts and pay for these bonds, you do not help your case by using the state claim.
I'm still not getting
by,
what
listen,
a phone
by using
has
the
to
state
do with it.
Then I don't know, Michelle dear, maybe you're deliberately not getting it.
Maybe I am.
The point here is you don't tell one group to tighten their belts and then you go and live large. It looks bad.
Oh, I know it looks bad for him.
Right.
But I don't care
about. So you did get it.
What does it mean to me? That's what I want to know from you. What does it mean to me? I know it looks bad for him.
Right.
Who cares about him?
Well, good. Then you're past that. The question is, are you willing to go to the polls and allow the leadership of the state of West Virginia to put you and Hawk to the tune of $3,000 a year?
Because he can have a boat.
No, the boat has nothing to do with this part, Michelle.
Want to have the boat?
It was an analogy, dear. Listen carefully. The decision is simple. Do you want to go
$3,000?
Do you want to go? Do you want to go $3,000 a year in hock or not? That's just the question you answer when you go to the ballot box.
It would depend on what the $3,000 is going for.
It is going to retire this pension bond debt.
Okay. And the pension bond debt is for the state employees, correct?
Correct.
Who are going to be screwed out of it.
No, they're not going to be screwed. They're going to be paid one way or the other.
Oh, who says?
The law says.
Well, then, why should we vote yes?
Congratulations. You just figured it out. Thanks, Michelle.
No, thank you for taking so much time with me.
That's,
I really, really
that's okay.
appreciate it.
That's okay.
Thanks.
Bye now. So you do get it. It's a question of images. Thurston Howell doesn't tell Gilligan to tighten his belt while he's eating caviar. There's our Gilligan's Island reference. But I mentioned the email. We got an email from our buddy Stephen across the pond in the UK who straightened us out a little bit. We were having a discussion about am I this and am I that. And he said, hey, Bob, I just wanted to set the record straight about the mention of the British intelligence services. One of your callers, I can't remember who it was, mentioned James Bond in connection with it. I think I'm the one who's guilty of that in terms of naming people Q and M and C and B and all kinds of alphabet people. Firstly, he says, the MI5 is our equivalent of your FBI and deals purely with domestic intelligence. The MI6 is the equivalent of your CIA and deals with foreign intelligence, not the other way around, as the caller stated. Meanwhile, James Bond worked for a department called MI7, yes, which is a fictional intelligence department that doesn't exist in reality. In other words, it must be Republican. Everything else they do doesn't exist in reality. He also notes the pressure for Tony Blair to resign is increasing over there, and hopefully he will. He has stated, oh, this is a real beauty, that one of his legacies he hopes to leave behind will be the introduction of identity cards. Your papers are not in order. He, as well as his disciples, use the auspices of security, playing on the fear of an ignorant society to justify such a contemptible and obvious attempt at strengthening the stranglehold of corporatism over our lives. Yeah, we got the same thing going on here. This reasoning is akin to locking... Oh, this is beautiful, Stephen. This is just beautiful. This reasoning is akin to locking up the whole town because they can't catch the one crook that lives in it. That's it. Now, see, I go fishing around for analogies, and that's it. And, of course, we're going to lock up the whole country because we're scared of a 6-foot-7-inch Arab man walking around with a portable dialysis machine that we can't seem to find. Oy. When you also factor in the proposed escalation of the private sector to cover up for the fact that this government couldn't realistically be trusted with a lemonade stand as opposed to a country. Stephen, brother, you sure you're in England? That sounds like our lemonade stand. Damn, I think the Wild Bunch has invaded the parking lot. Can you guys hear that? Maybe not. A whole bunch of them motorcycles outside. He says, on your side, almost every media outlet has been dissecting the Washington incident like Bill Frist with a cat.
showing terrified citizens running in all directions in blank panic. Initially, I thought this was a rerun of the Orson Welles broadcast to promote the remake of the War of the Worlds movie. Then I discovered this was caused through a very small Piper aircraft that had drifted off course and straight into the exclusion zone. The Piper was instantly intercepted by two F-16 fighters, and buildings in Washington evacuated, something about too little too late. And the best part of it, I don't know if you caught this, it turns out they didn't even bother to tell Boy George about it. He was bicycling in Maryland. But then again, what happened to what happened when they did tell him about it? You saw the footage from Florida? I'm sorry, the country's under attack. Let us continue reading from My Pet Goat. How many minutes? 9 minutes? 12 minutes after he was told the country was under attack and he sits there like something from the animatronic Hall of Presidents at Disney World? What was it that Abraham Lincoln said? Oh, yeah. Welcome to the Hall of Presidents. So I guess you really can't fault the government for not telling George Bush that D.C. might have been under attack by a rogue Piper Cub or Cessna or, you know, whatever. What point would there have been in doing that? What would he have done? Stopped his bicycle and sat and stared for 8 minutes? 10 minutes? 12? Oh, I remember when I was a kid and they taught me about this wonderful, wonderful country that I lived in that had brilliant leadership. Maybe they should have rethought it anyway because, well, Kennedy was dead before I was a year old. Ouch. Let's take a break. Come back. And, let's look at some situational ethics. That sounds like a lot of fun, doesn't it? The Republicans just hate situational ethics, and they say they never do it. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
So that's the pillar of some ideas, and my job is to like think beyond the immediate.
Head On.
Around the block, just up your street, with neighbors you should meet.
When you leave a job, why not take your retirement savings with you? Now you can roll over your 401k with someone who's always been there for you. Someone you can count on. Someone like Maria Dooley in Ridgewood, Regina Echo in Hinton, or Herb Garlitz in Beckley, your State Farm agents. Whether you're changing jobs, between jobs, or retiring, consider rolling over your 401k with State Farm. Then, no matter where your career takes you, your 401k money will be with the people who know you and your plans for the future. Call State Farm agents Maria Dooley in Ridgewood, Regina Echo in Hinton, or Herb Garlitz in Beckley, and ask about a tax-deferred 401k rollover. State Farm, providing insurance and financial services. Consult your tax or legal advisor for specific advice.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
All rise, this honorable court is now in session.
Please be seated. The defendant shall remain standing. The defendant is before this court today for sentencing, having been previously found guilty of a gun crime by a jury of his peers. Given the severity of this crime, it is the order of this court that the defendant be sentenced to a term of 5 years imprisonment. Defendant will be remanded to custody immediately.
On June 4th, my big brother was sentenced to 5 years in prison for a gun crime. That day, he sentenced me to 5 years of walking home alone from school.
When you commit a gun crime, your family pays the price. Gun crimes hit home. A public service announcement brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
West Virginia's only live nighttime talker, Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back.
Almost 21 minutes after 8 o'clock here in beautiful uptown Beckley. It is a lovely evening. Cold for May in West Virginia. Yeah, cold. There's some talk of frost. See? My tiller was telling me something when it... So I don't have to replant again yet. No, situational ethics. Situational ethics 101. You remember situational ethics? Kissing cousin of moral relativism, huh? Arch enemy of absolute truth, of which right-wing Republicans and religion industrialists swear there is so much. Oh, there are many absolute truths. You know. Now, my side, us decent people, us liberals, us progressives, we're supposed to be the enemies of all that's good about America. You have to say it that way, too. All that's good about America when you're talking about the way the Republicans talk. Because us liberals, us progressives, us thinking people, we recognize that there are some ugly gray areas out there that actually require some cogitation, some thought, some skull sweat once in a while, some deliberation, if you will. You remember deliberation, what they want to end and what the Republicans want to end in the United States Senate? Yeah, sure you do. You know, things like, should we go to war just because we want to? Should we go to war just because the bombs make really neat flashes in the night for Fox News and CNN to broadcast back across the globe? See, and I'm sure you're aware, for those of you listening radiophonically or whatever the word is, from the top of the hour news, or anybody who's turned on television today, it's all this business about Newsweek. And it's mea culpa, about having dared to print the story about the American torturers at Gitmo who flushed a Koran or two down the toilet in front of some extremely suggestible, that is to say, religious Muslims. And it's duly noted by the corporate media talking heads that 15 people have died in religious fighting across the Muslim world. Now, I'm a liberal and a progressive, and I hate war, and I hate unnecessary death. But somehow or another, this is being touted as Newsweek's fault. And it's not. These people in these sectors of the world, true or not, are willing to believe that it is true because we have a government that it is easy to believe would do something like this. We have a government that has indiscriminately dropped bombs, missiles, you name it, on innocent civilians in Iraq and killed something upwards of 100,000 of them. And, of course, Bush administration spokesman Larry DeRita, I swear, I wish there was some genealogist out there who could find out, because I'm convinced this clown has got to be related to Curly Joe DeRita, the last stooge. Remember, Curly Joe wasn't funny at all? Neither is this guy. But he was out there actually calling the people at Newsweek dirty names today. And the whole Newsweek story is just kind of beyond me, because Newsweek is retracting a story because it was reported to their reporter by a guy who saw it and lived it, but they're retracting the story because some guys in the Bush administration who didn't live it and didn't see it said it didn't happen. Ow, my head! That just hurts! We didn't see it, so therefore it never happened. By the way, did we tell you about our Clear Skies initiative where we made the air cleaner by putting more filth into it? And have we told you about the Healthy Forests initiative where we make the forests all healthier by cutting all the forests down? Have we told you about that one? The same bunch, okay? Which brings me back to that mean old moral relativism. But guess who turns out is practicing it? Big, bad, agnostic Democrats? Thanks for playing. Here's your lovely parting gift. I'll take hypocritical Republicans for $8.8 billion, Alex? You are correct, sir. Johnny, tell him what he's won. You'll fly to lovely Uzbekistan aboard a privately chartered Gulfstream 5 jet Upon arrival, you'll have a lovely tete-a-tete with Uzbek strongman Aslam Karimov. If you play your cards right, he just might not boil you alive in oil like he does his political enemies. That's right, we toppled Saddam because he was a brutal dictator who killed his own people, but we're doing business with strongman Karimov because he's a brutal dictator who killed his own people. Check it out. From the Associated Press. Now, while you were busy being worn out in the news with the dismay and the shock and the anger of people like Kinda Sleazy Rice about the Quran flushing, you might have missed this. Unrest spread through eastern Uzbekistan after a crackdown by security forces left up to 500 dead in Andijan, with disturbances reaching three other towns, including one that reportedly left 200 dead. That's right. Our buddy, Aslam Karimov, the dictator, the brutal dictator who kills his own people of Uzbekistan, is slaughtering Uzbeks. Hear the crickets? That would be, yeah, that's the Republican silence. And yeah, yeah, Karimov boils his political enemies alive. Never mind the rape rooms. He boils his political enemies alive. But hey, he gave us a military base so we don't give a tinker's damn what he does to his people, because this country is run by Republican fascists who have the... there it is, moral relativism. Eaten up with moral relativism. What the hell else do you call it when you spend $300 billion, get 1,600 Americans killed, God knows 20 or 30,000 wounded, you slaughter 100,000 innocent civilians because a man is an evil dictator who kills his own people, but you take a pass on Aslam Karimov, who boils people alive and sends his gunmen into the streets to mow down people who merely yearn to live free? The hell else do you call it? In another border community, Khorasov, an estimated 5,000 people went on a rampage Saturday and forced authorities to restore a bridge across the river that marks the border with Kyrgyzstan. The violence puts the United States in a difficult position because it relies on Karimov's government for an air base in the country and anti-terrorism support. So far, U.S. authorities have only called on both sides to work out their differences peacefully. Mr. Karimov, if you don't mind, if it's not too much trouble, would you please stop slaughtering your own people? Thank you. Oh, we're real puff if we think there's a buck in it. But we have the morals of a sea slug, and there I am being rough on the sea slugs if it's somebody who's helping us do the slaughtering. Odd. Gut check. How you moral voters, moral values voters feeling?
Just fine, just fine. You know, they were only Muslims, those Uzbeks. Yeah, it doesn't matter, because they're not going to heaven anyway.
This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. The city of Beckley is taking advantage of lower interest rates to refinance outstanding debts on two fire stations. Several years ago, the city built new fire stations on Pikeview Street and 3rd Avenue at a cost of $3,265,000. Mayor Pugh says the city has paid off around $965,000 so far. They're getting ready to refinance bonds through the City Building Commission that would save about $35,000 to $40,000. More than 100 people are expected to help reenact the Civil War's Battle of Lewisburg later this month, and to honor the son of a Confederate soldier. Organizer Darlene Fife says 96-year-old William Dysart is West Virginia's last living son of a Confederate soldier. Other Confederate and Union descendants are also invited to the event. It's planned for May 21st and 22nd. West Virginia's congressional delegation, Governor Manchin, and local dignitaries plan to participate in a rally this morning to save the 130th Air National Guard airlift wing at Charleston-Jaeger Airport. The event was set to start this morning at 11:30. Last week, the Department of Defense announced plans to strip the unit of its 8 C-130 cargo planes, which are to be transferred to Pope Air Force Base in North Carolina. West Virginia Adjutant General Alan Tackett has called the move a backdoor equipment grab. State lawmakers are already in Charleston for interim committee meetings, and the governor will take advantage of the timing and call senators and delegates into special session this afternoon. Some members of the Manchin administration work most of the weekend to finalize the governor's agenda. It should be completed by this evening. And former state lawmaker Jerry Mezzatesta was arraigned today. Mezzatesta was indicted by the Hampshire County Grand Jury last month after the panel found enough evidence to elicit a charge of false swearing. That's the news. Now here's the forecast for the rest of this evening. Partly cloudy and cold. Temperatures now around 50. Tonight clear and chilly. Low 40. Tomorrow partly cloudy, a little bit warmer. Temperatures on Tuesday in the mid-60s. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack. When you need to know.
WWNR Beckley.
Back to radio for the rest of us. Head on.
Welcome back. Just had to make a quick call home. Sorry, I was a little slow getting back to the mic. But my son is enamored and fascinated with the Aurora Borealis. And did you hear the sunspot story earlier today, the big storm on the sun? It's a G5 or whatever that is. But they're saying northern lights may be visible as far south as Florida. So I wanted to make sure that he knew to be looking to the north, and because it's his very heart's desire to see the Aurora Borealis. It's baddy stuff. So my apologies for my tardiness. Back to the phone. The number is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. Jim is back with us. Hey, Jim, you're head on.
Thank you, Mr. Kincaid.
You're more than welcome.
First, I appreciate your letting me come back on.
No trouble.
And when you mentioned the Aurora Borealis, I was just thinking, for the deaths of beggars, no lights are seen, but for those of princes, the very heavens blaze forth.
Yeah.
Interesting, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
You know, going into, and I just mentioned that as sort of a prognostication of sorts, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But going back to this thing with Newsweek and this article.
Yeah.
Well, in the first place, Bob, it doesn't have to be true.
No.
Because these people believe it.
Well, yeah, but...
And they want to believe everything they can about us that is negative.
And right, but are we not obliged, Jim, to ask why that is?
We certainly are, but I'll tell you one thing. I think, considering what we've done and who we've supported and how we've conducted ourselves since 2000, it's no wonder the Muslim world has turned against us.
Well, of course not. We have done everything in our power to violate every precept of decency and morality as they perceive it that we can lay our hands on.
Exactly. I mean, these people have a very strict code of values and morals and things like that and conduct. Things that we're not even accustomed to. If you don't believe that, just be sitting around in a room full of Muslims and showing the bottoms of your feet.
Yeah, it'll end the party in a hurry.
Yeah. And, you know, and these guys who call up there and say, everything's going to be fine in Iraq and it's going to be wonderful. They're going to have this, that, and the other.
If only we'd quit telling all the bad news.
And, you know, I hate to say them, you know, what are they, do they really believe that? Do they really think that, you know, this is going to be like one of Ronald Reagan's grade B Western movies in which the cavalry is going to come charging over the hill when we get ourselves overextended over there?
Oh, yeah.
And we have problems keeping things in unrest, quiet here at home, and we're screwing our own people?
Yeah, I know. And the story is out there, what was it, Operation Matador over by the Syrian border?
Keep them out of
supposedly we were running off a bunch of foreign fighters. Well, there are some reporters on the ground who aren't embedded with anybody,
mm-hmm.
Dar Jamal being one of them.
Right.
That wasn't about foreign fighters. that was about is Iraqi fighters who are sick and tired of being occupied.
Well, you know, these people are looking at us with the expressions of their face. Why don't you just leave? We're tired of you.
We don't like being occupied.
Exactly. I mean, you know, I'm not trying to be un-American when I say this. I'm just trying to be practical.
You're being a guy with a brain inside your skull, Jim.
And I don't like to see young men come home in body bags or half as half a man with no face, no head, no arm, no leg or whatever.
Yeah, and God knows where they're going to come home to because we're going to close Walter Reed.
Yeah, now they're going to realign. Well, they've realigned everything in the district, including Balling Air Force Base.
Well, did you know? You asked me to look through that list, and it was a real skull scorcher, Jim. But I did.
Well, yeah, you have to look through those things because, I mean, we see something on the internet. That's one thing. But anything I see on the internet, in order to really absorb it, I have to print out. Because, Bob, I've been looking at these screens since 1979 when it was called the ARPANET, okay?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, that's, I guess maybe my eyes have gotten visual fatigue, but anything that I really need to absorb from the internet, I have to print out and look at.
Well, I printed and I looked.
And I know that, and I got your email, and I thank you for that. And I'm making inquiries as to the question.
Yeah,
you're
just
asking.
Trying to
I'm not going to surface that
yeah,
issue
just,
right there.
Just sort of the kind of caught my attention. But as far as the base closings are concerned, did you notice that what is it? There's one state above all else that has a net gain, while everybody else seems to be losing.
Deep in the heart of Texas.
Bingo.
Absolutely. I mean, they have what they've done. They just close little things to make you know entry elements. But as far as the big stuff is concerned, listen, they have a net, very serious net gain.
Walter Reed Hospital?
Yeah, they're going to close Walter Reed or realign it. And how they're going to do that, I don't know. I mean, that's in, I don't know if you've ever been to Walter Reed, but it's a pretty big place.
Yeah.
And,
I mean, I've been there, but
I don't know. I mean, the only thing I know that they could realign it with in that area would be Bethesda.
And I think that's the plan.
And so, of course, Bethesda, if I had to go to one of the two places, I'd rather go to Bethesda than Walter Reed, that's for sure.
Yeah, but right now we're sending a boatload of soldiers to Walter Reed.
Yeah, that's where they have the rehabilitation facility for these men who come back with no limbs, and that's where they're refitted with prosthesis and things like that. But, I mean, these people who are believing that this war is going to turn out all right and all you have to do is believe are just a few sandwiches short of a picnic.
It's Tinkerbellism. How many times do I have to talk about it, Jim? It's Tinkerbellism.
And it falls down on them. What they're going to be doing is this. They're going to be sitting up till midnight burning black candles, writing letters to Dear Abby or anybody they can get an address on, and keeping the readers of gothic romances up to their ears in mink.
It's not even as complicated as that, Jim.
I hate to say it. I mean, but
it's not as complicated as that. When it all comes down,
they really refuse to accept the plain truth.
When the excrement strikes the fan, Jim, when it all comes down, it's not anything complicated at all.
No, it's not.
Four words, and you will hear them repeated endlessly across the media spectrum. It's all Clinton's fault.
Well, now they're trying to do a whitewash on the media. Now, 22% of Americans today said that the media should be censored by the government.
Oh, my God.
I came over to CNN this afternoon. Now, making you feel a little bit better.
Is that the same 22% that said they were voting on moral values? Probably.
I don't know, probably. It's hard. These demographics are hard to get a hand on. But, I mean, 22% said that after this was the last straw, that we could deliberately try to defile this, that, and the other. And, you know, basically, and retract and whatever. But, I mean, if they were to focus on the misrepresentations and lies that had been told by the current administration, just a few missteps with articles in a magazine in the media would be nothing by comparison, particularly when it doesn't make any difference because these people They're not going to believe anything good about us.
Jim, back up a little bit. I can't remember the fellow's name. Wrote Fortunate Son, wound up dead in a hotel room in Arkansas. Okay? Flash forward to Rathergate. Okay? And then there's this. These are not incidents that happen in an isolated circle, in an isolated world. This is a concerted effort.
It's engineered
to destroy. Yeah, certainly it is. And we know who the engineers are. And it ain't Casey Jones. It's Karl Rove. And it is an engineered effort to destroy the free press in America. Now, most of it was already dead in the first place because it's corporate owned. All right? But if we can use something like the Newsweek story to leverage, you know, an Alien and Sedition Act or one of those hateful things that was put forward in the First World War that wound up in the convictions of people like Eugene V. Debs.
Right.
If we can do that, then they win because everybody gets shut up.
Well, I'll tell you this, and I'm going. These people in charge of this particular operation to destroy the thought process of the American people, they must have been trained somewhere in Red China, Manchuria, because what they're doing is brainwashing the American people.
Sure it is. I mean, this is it's straight out of Orwell's Animal Farm. It's straight out of 1984. And it's also straight out of Ray Bradbury's Fahrenheit 451.
And the Manchurian Candidate.
Sure. Absolutely.
Thank you, Bob.
I appreciate it. Take care.
Out here.
While I'm at it, regarding the secret memo that was leaked to London's Sunday Telegraph and published in its May 1st edition, Joe Connison had this to say, and I quote, "What the minutes clearly show is that Bush and Blair secretly agreed to wage war for regime change nearly a year before the invasion and months before they asked the United Nations Security Council to support renewed weapons inspections as an alternative to armed conflict. The minutes also reveal the lingering doubts over the legal and moral justifications for war within the Blair government. But for Americans," Connison writes, "the most important lines in the July 23rd minutes are those attributed to," listen carefully, "that feller C, they're just calling him C, they're calling him C because he's not real." No, that's his official designation within the MI structure per our email from our friend Stephen. For Americans, the most important lines in the July 23rd minutes are those attributed to, listen carefully, Sir Richard Dearlove, the head of the British Secret Intelligence Service, or MI6, who in spy jargon is referred to only as C. The minutes indicate that Sir Richard had discovered certain harsh realities during a visit to the United States that summer. Quote, C reported on his recent talks in Washington. There was a perceptible shift in attitude. Military action was now seen as inevitable. Bush wanted to remove Saddam through military action, justified by the conjunction of terrorism and WMD. But the intelligence and facts, listen, I've read this how many times since May 1st? But the intelligence and facts were being fixed around the policy. The NSC had no patience with the UN route. There was little discussion in Washington of the aftermath after military action. One more time. The intelligence and facts were being fixed around the policy. Fixed, ginned up, created out of whole cloth. There was little discussion in Washington of the aftermath after military action.
Oh, God, it makes my stomach churn to think about filthy pigs like that Trent Lott standing in the well of the Senate during the action over Kosovo, in which not a single American lost his life, and declaring, I can support the troops without having to support this president. And hearing Republican freak after Republican freak after Republican freak crowing, where's the exit strategy? What's the exit strategy for Kosovo? Where's the exit strategy? What are we doing engaging in nation building? Where are God's lightning bolts when you need them? What's the exit strategy? There was little discussion in Washington of the aftermath after military action. And that paucity of discussion has cost something on the order of 1,600 young American lives. And that paucity of discussion has cost something on the order of 10 to 20,000 soldiers blown into their constituent parts, and yet somehow enough of them left alive to bring home to a life that may well be worse than death. There was little discussion in Washington of the aftermath after military action. Well, we'll just go in there and we'll be greeted as liberators, and they'll strew flyers in our path, and we'll get the oil gone and get the hell out. That's how it's going to work, because that's how we believe it. And we all know that faith works wonders and moves mountains. And Saddam. Amen. Now, listen up. When Bush signed the congressional resolution that authorized the use of military force against Iraq, do you remember the date? Now, you know the memo mentions the fact that this would all be ginned up within a month or two of the midterm congressional elections. You remember that, don't you? And you remember how people who questioned the war were called un-American, and you remember how Saxby Chambliss, the hell kind of name is Saxby? That sweet little fella from Georgia who'd been a congressman, Saxby Chambliss, ran ads against a man who left limbs in the swamps of Vietnam that accused him, Max Cleland, of being the same as Osama. Yeah, that election, you remember that one. So Bush signed the congressional resolution authorizing the use of military force against Iraq. It was October the 16th, 2002. It was 3 months after the Downing Street memo. And this is what George W. Bush said at a press conference. 3 months. 3 months after it had been made clear to the British that we were damned well going to have war with Iraq come hell, come high water. George Bush said, almost turns your gut. I have not ordered the use of force. I hope the use of force will not become necessary. Hopefully this can be done peacefully. Hopefully we can do this without any military action. Military action will be a last resort. Hopefully. 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 Hope in one hand. In the other. See which one fills up first. Of course, in the case of George Bush, that hope and that other are pretty much the same thing, weren't they? Because he was going to have his little war, because American servicemen and women are just toys. And war is something you play at, just like he played at it. and couldn't even bother to finish the game in 1972 when he was busy protecting El Paso from airplane loads of black pajama-clad Viet Cong. You understand? You understand how this works? Do you understand you've been conned? Do you understand you've been lied to? Do you understand this is all just a sad, thin little tissue of miserable, bloody lies, and that there's no turning back from it? That we've got ourselves a nice, fresh Vietnam. This is what happens when you let people who have never heard a shot fire in anger and have displayed nothing but contempt for the military. This is what happens when you let people whose greed and mendacity exceed their morality control the world. I have not ordered the use of force. I hope the use of force will not become necessary. Hopefully this can be done peacefully. Hopefully we can do this without any military action. Military action will be a last resort. Well, whatever military action was, it was a resort he wanted to be at. Now, Sherman, set the Wayback Machine on Monica. Yeah, I know. The wingnuts are tired of hearing about Monica. Don't you just love irony? But honest to God, if I did not have sex with that woman is enough to impeach a president over in the sweet, holy name of Almighty God, can we please haul George W. Bush into the dock over the stupid, senseless, meaningless, dirty slaughter of 1,600 Americans who would be alive today but for his willful disregard for the truth? Is it too much to ask? I'm Bob Kincaid.
John. George was AWO. Chicken hawk. Chicken hawk. Chicken hawk. Chicken hawk. Chicken hawk. Pilgrim. Pilgrim. And George was AWO. Hell.
Tight budget have you going out, Les? Stretch your entertainment dollars by visiting a library in the newly formed Mountain Library Network. One car travels with you to libraries in 16 West Virginia counties. Stop by a participating library to sign up for your new card and to check out the benefits. Many libraries, one card does it all.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel, looking at 43 by early in the morning, with a few clouds lingering over our part of West Virginia for tonight. Except a few afternoon clouds, a pretty fair Tuesday with abundant sunshine, 68 the high. We're getting a bit warmer as midweek approaches. Wednesday, look for partly cloudy conditions to persist with a high in the mid-70s, and back to 71 Thursday with an increased chance of rain.
Radio for the real majority. Head on.
Hey, welcome back. Bumper music?
Okay, thanks. Yeah. Play late and a dollar short. Jesus. Okay, that's enough. All of a sudden, there's this guy with his finger pointing at me. Oh, what the hell am I supposed to do? Oh, talk, daggummit. So we were talking about the fraud that is the Iraq War before we went to the top of the hour news. And our friend Victor sent this along, an article from American Free Press in D.C., just in case you had forgotten about this, God knows you shouldn't, by James P. Tucker, Jr. The death toll from the highly toxic weapons component, known as depleted uranium, DU, no, not Democratic Underground, depleted uranium, DU, has reached 11,000 soldiers, and the growing scandal may be the reason behind Anthony Principi's departure as Secretary of the Veterans Affairs Department. The view was expressed by Arthur Bernclough, Executive Director of Veterans for Constitutional Law in New York, writing in the Preventive Psychiatry e-newsletter. This is what he said. The real reason for Mr. Principi's departure was really never given. However, a special report published by eminent scientist Lauren Moret, that's French, naming depleted uranium as the definitive cause of Gulf War syndrome, has fed a growing scandal about the continued use of uranium munitions by the U.S. Army. God, I love it when the rest of the world catches up with me. The malady from DU that thousands of our military have suffered and died from has finally been identified as the cause of this sickness, eliminating the guessing. The terrible truth is now being revealed, Bernclough said. Of the 580,400 soldiers who served in Gulf War I, 11,000 are now dead, he said. By the year 2000, there were 325,000 on permanent medical disability. Listen up. More than a decade later, more than half, 56%, who served in Gulf War I have permanent medical problems. The disability rate for veterans of the world wars of the last century was 5%, rising to 10% in Vietnam. The VA secretary was aware of this fact as far back as 2000, Bernclough said. He and the Bush administration have been hiding these facts, but now, thanks to Moray's report, it is far too big to hide or to cover up. Terry Johnson's a public affairs specialist at the Veterans Administration. He recently reported that veterans of both Persian Gulf Wars now on disability total 518,739, Bernclough said. The long-term effect of DU is a virtual death sentence. Marion Falk, F-U-L-K, a nuclear chemist who retired from the Lawrence Livermore Nuclear Weapons Lab and was also involved in the Manhattan Project, interprets the new and rapid malignancies in the soldiers from the Second War as spectacular and a matter for concern. Now, see, I suppose that people who work at Lawrence Livermore and were involved in the Manhattan Project can use words like spectacular to describe gut-rending cancer and not really mean anything by it. No disrespect. I think the use of that word spectacular probably indicates a stunning degree of incidences of occurrence that to a scientist, you know, a reason and rational-based person, is really breathtaking. While this important story appeared in a Washington newspaper and the wire services, it did not receive national exposure. Well, hell no! Of course not! I mean, when the Downing Street memo makes page A18 of the Washington Post, you understand that there are other, more pressing concerns out there. Like what? I don't know. An Amber Alert, perhaps, or the Michael Jackson trial, or
a scandal, I tell you, a scandal inside American Idol. Because, you see, more people care more about who wins American Idol than care about who lives in the White House. And to get all Rod Serling on you for a minute, submitted for your approval, a nation more concerned with a talent contest than it is with its leadership and its governance is no longer a free people. Case in point, American Idol. Really. And the writer, James P. Tucker Jr., is absolutely right. You've got to go where I go for news. Look around at places other than the Washington Post or the New York Times, which lives in mortal terror, as does every network, and apparently now Newsweek magazine. Please don't beat us again. We'll retract the story, even if it was true. Live in mortal terror of the Bush murder machine. When you take, for example, photographs of naked Muslims who regard their nakedity as something offensive unto the eyes of their God, when you take naked photographs of them, when you attach jumper cables to them in that condition with hoods over their heads, when you sick vicious dogs on them, when you have women making fun of their genitals, well, you've hung yourself on your own petard, haven't you? But we've forgotten about that. And see, if you can discredit the Newsweek story, then by extension you can discredit what else? Why, yes! You can discredit the Downing Street story under the same theory. Well, they just called that fella C, and they didn't tell us what his real name was, so therefore it can't be real. Do you see the twisted reasoning, my left hind foot reasoning, the twisted lack of mental acuity, the twisted lack of cerebral process involved? This, the little hissy fit, the kittens with crocheted tails that the White House had about the Newsweek story hadn't a damn thing to do with whether or not a Quran got flushed down the toilet at Gitmo. They couldn't care less whether a Quran got flushed down the toilet at Gitmo. If the truth be told, the horrors are far more than that, believe me. But you see, it serves a dual purpose. Because we all know that because there was something wrong with the story itself, we need not look at the contents of Rathergate. We need not further examine the fact that that sorry, rotten, little privileged loser who has never touched anything in his life that did not wither and die on the vine, George Bush, we don't have to look at that anymore. We don't have to look at our policies at Guantanamo anymore because of the Newsweek story, and moreover, because of the Newsweek story, we don't have to look at the Downing Street story, because the White House might get all upsetty. And if the White House gets upset, well, things aren't good. They might cry. George Bush might have to go out and kiss some other guy. Yeah, understand. These people, they may all be reality-based, but they still operate on layers of meaning. And there are layers after layers after... This is the rottenest onion in the entire barrel, bag, basket, what have you. You ever peeled into a rotten onion? You know how sometimes they'll rot from the inside out? And it's like, well, that layer's rotten. Yep. So is that one. How about the next? Yep, rotten too. Next layer? Yep, rotten. And so that's what we're dealing with. We are dealing with the rottenest of rotten onions. And they stink. Sorry, kind of a country analogy, but that's the Bush administration. And the idea is to get you to quit focusing on the rottenness And the, even though you've got a rotten onion from the core out in your hand, you're looking at a cross-section of it, you know it's rotten, you, dear citizen, are supposed to look at it and say, well, that's not a rotten onion. That very rotten onion is the fault of the media. If all them nasty media would quit talking about this onion being rotten, it'd quit being rotten. It'd be fresh tomorrow. No, it don't work that way. But in the Piggly world, yeah, sugar, that's exactly how it works. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Any of you guys out there looking for the girl next door? Because I know where you can find her. Cupid.com. It's a place to meet women that live close by. Cupid.com isn't interested in compiling some big worldwide network. They're focused on putting you in touch with the cuties you pass on your way to work. People who share your same area code. Basic Cupid memberships are free with zero obligations. You can even apply to messages from gold members, a service you usually pay for on other sites. You can remain anonymous and still put Cupid's auto-match to work, locating women with your favorite traits and qualities. Bigger online dating sites show you a universe of women, which is perfect if you're into long-distance relationships. But Cupid.com shrinks that world to women right in your backyard, because the girl next door never lives three states away. Find your true love at Cupid.com, either online or at one of our fun local events.
Cupid.com. Advertising locally on great radio stations to bring people together for love.
It attacks the brain, and you might not know what hit you.
It's a stroke, and it can cripple or kill you.
If suddenly you're numb or weak on one side, limb, or face,
it could be a stroke. Get help. There's no time to waste.
It could even be a sudden, severe headache without cause.
If you wait to get help, time lost is brain lost.
Maybe it's a loved one, slurring their speech or dizzy.
Call 911 and get medical help quickly.
There are even more symptoms that I did not mention.
So call or hit the web for information and prevention.
Blacks have a higher occurrence. Do you want to know more?
Call 1-888-4-STROKE or visit www.strokeassociation.org.
High blood pressure, diabetes, and obesity
all make the risk of a stroke more likely.
But remember, if it happens, do not delay.
Or disability might be the price you pay.
A public service message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
A guy who's in no rush to be savage, Bob Kincaid.
No rush at all. I am Bob. This is Head On. And you are free to join in the discussion if you wish. 252-6200 is the number. Outside Beckley, it is 800-620-9967. We will be happy to pick up the cost on that. Email bob@headonradio.com, and of course the website, as I mentioned before, headonradio.com, where membership is free to join in the fracas that is the message course. So there is that number. I got sidetracked, I admit. Is that number at all disturbing to you? The death toll from depleted uranium has reached 11,000 soldiers. And it's been enough to run out the Secretary of the Veterans Affairs Department, Anthony Principi. Is it disturbing at all? Or are soldiers who serve their country come home and try, assuming they get past the mental trauma and the physical trauma and they came home relatively unscathed and they wake up 10 years later and they're eaten alive with cancer because of depleted uranium? Well, that's just one of the prices we pay for a free society, Bob. Is it? Is it really? Is it necessary to use depleted uranium, or do we use depleted uranium because somewhere along the way somebody's figured out a way to make a buck on it? We are at $300 $300 billion for this war. $300 billion. Ten of that we just lost. We don't know what the hell happened to it. You know, Bender in the casino, I don't know. We just lost it. And there are 11,000 dead people because we just had to use depleted uranium. And if we've got 11,000 dead soldiers from it, well, you don't want to hear about, you know, the decent, moral, upstanding, liberal, progressive people already know about the cancer clusters in Iraq, the cancer clusters and the rate of children dying from cancers that they should not be having following the first Gulf War. And we will have more of those clusters after George's dirty little war. But little dead Muslim children, well, you know, they trouble us progressives and us liberals and us decent people. But they don't mean anything to a Republican. They're just more dead little brown children, and nits make lice, and they're better off for having shuffled off this mortal coil as early as possible. If God didn't want them dead, he wouldn't have had George invade Iraq. Right! It makes me sick at my stomach. But the 11,000 dead Americans, now they do mean something, and I address myself to the Republicans and the cons. They mean something, don't they? The study of the Gulf War I veterans from Mississippi, who upon returning for the life of them, literally for the life of them, could not father a physically normal, within the meanings of the word, baby. Arms missing, brains missing, spines missing, spinal cords open, legs not there, flippers instead of, you get the meaning. And it rose to well over 50%. And that is depleted uranium. And we're just crazy about depleted uranium. And you understand that there are artillery crews that handle the stuff. We use it in tanks. We use it in field guns. And you pick it up and you hand it to the next guy. And the next guy hands it to the guy who shoves it into the gun, who closes the breech, who pulls the lanyard, blah, boom. And when it comes out of the muzzle, a certain amount of it vaporizes there around the gun. And when it hits its target, it vaporizes, and there's a scatter pattern that is miles in diameter for the dust. And don't kid yourself into believing that because we use a cute little term like depleted uranium, that it's not dangerous anymore. That's what it sounds like, though, isn't it? Well, it's depleted. It's uranium that isn't dangerous anymore. It's uranium that's not radioactive anymore. Wrong. Oh, so painfully, tragically, deadly wrong. It's still radioactive. It will still make you sick as a dog. It will still give you cancer. It will still lead your grieving widow to a grave she never anticipated putting her veteran husband in 10 years after he got home. Is it worth the inquiry? Is it worth getting disturbed about? Been talking about it for 2 years now, I have. Been reading about it for longer than that. Hey, how about the liberal media? Nope, sorry. Wouldn't want to do a depleted uranium story. Slytherin Scott McClellan might not like it. In between trips to the gay bar, he might get upset. Do you see what we're dealing with? I mean, I've seen comments on the message board. Well, I bet Bob doesn't believe half of what he said. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. I don't have time on this program for shtick. Now, I'll play and do a funny little voice here and there, blah, blah, or say, you know, hey, Joe, you might not want to buy that yacht. Deadly in earnest in all of it. The fact that I have a little bit of fun with it doesn't take away from the fact that I'm very serious about it. And I'm very serious about this. And it hurts my soul when I think about it. It should hurt yours, too. I mean, frankly, if we had any character, any of us on either side of the debate, we would be burning up the mails and absolutely pounding on our keyboards like we were the last correspondent off the roof of the American Embassy in Saigon in 1975, demanding that our elected representatives look into this and find out about this. Why? Why do our veterans who come back from that godforsaken stinking hole in the desert that we have polluted with radioactive munitions, why are they subjected to these cancers of unknown origin and unexplainable provenance? Why? Well, Bob, that's just the way God made. No, it's not. It's really, really not. The part of the story, did you hear it? The disability rate for veterans of the World Wars in the last century was 5%. It rose to 10% in Vietnam. 56% of the soldiers who served in Gulf War I have permanent medical problems. That is not because of a change in the law. That is a statistically significant anomaly and begs an explanation if only we had a government that cared enough to ask the questions, and more importantly, a sovereign people who cared enough to demand the government ask the questions. Wow, do you think Paula Abdul really did have sex with that feller? This is Head On.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. Rising gas prices are making it very difficult for ambulance companies to continue serving rural sections, and the companies want to charge insurers a higher mileage reimbursement rate. Ambulance squads are paid a base rate for transporting patients with an adjustment for mileage. Coalition President Rover Bryant says most insurers have not increased their mileage rate in more than 5 years. Gas prices in West Virginia have averaged over $2 a gallon this month. Charges are abound in the state, especially in the insurance industry. Insurers throughout the state are now lowering their rates as a result of the judicial reform legislation passed during the regular session. State Insurance Commissioner Jane Klein says some big-name companies such as State Farm and Allstate have already announced lower rates, and she hopes this will spur smaller companies to do the same. West Virginia's draft renewal application for a Medicaid waiver program that serves mentally retarded and developmentally disabled clients is being postponed until tomorrow. State Bureau of Medical Services Commissioner Nancy Atkins says the state hopes to help more clients and make the program more self-directed. It's the end of the year, but the workload isn't getting any easier for West Virginia school students. Students throughout the state took the annual West test today. Director of State Office of Student Assessment Services, Dr. Jan Barth, says the test was used to evaluate a number of skills students are expected to learn throughout the school year. The Sunday Gazette Mail reported yesterday that West Virginia's former Homeland Security chief was fired from a previous security job at a chemical company over questions about purchasing. Neil Sharp was fired from Roan Polunk in 1998, according to a wrongful termination lawsuit Sharp filed against the company. He had been the Institute Plant's emergency response coordinator. For the rest of this evening, partly cloudy and very chilly. Temperatures now around 50. Tonight clear with a low 40. Tomorrow partly cloudy with a high mid-60s. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack. When you need to know.
Bill Frist has gone nuts. The rich, aristocratic, Harvard-educated, Presbyterian country club senator who was chosen by Republicans to be majority leader to portray a more moderate image for their party has become a raging Christian extremist, pushing the entire nutty agenda of the ultra-right-wing televangelists. Frist has launched into his Cotton Mather imitation because he wants to run for president in 08, and you can't win the Republican nomination without the support of the kookiest religious right. So the patrician Tennessean has been bashing gays, opposing stem cell research, and even stooping to use Terry Schiavo's horrible plight as a political prop. Frist's real play to the loopy right, however, has been his demand that Senate Democrats stand meekly aside and allow all of George W.'s judicial nominees to be confirmed. Frist even joined a right-wing televangelist to proclaim that those despicable Democrats were, quote, using the filibuster rule in an unconscionable effort to block a few of Bush's nominees. But, whoops, Frist himself used the filibuster option in 2000 to try to stop one of Bill Clinton's court nominees. Of course, Frist wasn't running for president back then. What Frist and their Christian extremists don't want you to know is that their hissy fit over confirming this handful of court choices is not about the process, but about the fact that the particular nominees being blocked are truly awful. Indeed, Bush has nominated 225 people to federal judgeships, and all but 10 have been confirmed. But this bunch richly deserves to be rejected, for they've proven to be political hacks and extremist ideologues who consistently push for unfettered corporate power while working against consumers, workers, and ordinary folks. This is Jim Hightower saying, Frist is the one playing politics here, seeking to advance his own political future by stacking our courts with ideological nutballs.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac. The libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what. Support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library. So make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the Mac.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
WWNR Beckley.
You can be right and be wrong, or be left and be right. NR with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. Okay, 25 minutes left in this Monday night edition of Head On, this glorious Monday night. And your chance to get your licks in. 252-6200 is the number. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. And Gene sent me a link to this story from The Independent. It's called The Deserters AWOL Crisis Hits the U.S. Forces. And it is of some length, but the long and the short of it is a lot of members of the American military are figuring out what they're being asked to do, what they're being cruelly and cynically used for. According to the most recent Pentagon figures, there are 5,133 troops missing from duty. 2,376 sought by the Army, 1,410 by the Navy, 1,297 by the Marines, and 50 by the Air Force. We really don't have the Air Force on the ground. The Air Force isn't supposed to be on the ground. They're supposed to be in the air in Iraq. Mainly a Marine and Army gig, isn't it? I could be wrong. But there's a hotline. A volunteer hotline to help desperate soldiers and recruits who want to get out. They say their traffic has gone up by about 50% since September the 11th. Last year alone, the GI Rights Hotline took more than 30,000 calls. What is that, somewhere a little less than 10,000? I can't do the math. That's a lot of calls. In 365 days, you do the long division. They get 3,000 calls a month. The volunteers say that by the time a soldier or recruit dials the helpline, they've almost always made up their mind to get out by one means or another. The report cites one individual, a fellow named Sergeant Kevin Benderman. He says that he can't shake the images from his head. There are bombed villages
and desperate people. There are dogs eating corpses. That would be Fallujah. Dogs eating corpses thrown into a mass grave. Mass graves? I thought Saddam only had the mass graves. Was that Saddam? No, that wasn't Saddam's mass grave. Oops.
Well, why won't they tell the good news from Iraq?
Because there isn't any sunshine. There isn't any.
Why, they're getting electricity for almost 6 hours a day in Baghdad. Didn't you know that?
How many hours did they have electricity before we attacked them? By the way, Jesse tells me that's 82 and that's 82 calls a day and change. The good news in Iraq. Yeah. The good news in Fallujah? Don't think so. For Kevin Benderman, Sergeant Kevin Benderman, the most unremitting image of all is that of a young Iraqi girl, no more than 8 or 9. One arm severely burnt and blistered, and the sound of her screams. Well, Bob, you got to understand, these things happen in war.
Bug spray!
These things are happening in a war that didn't have to take place, a war that cannot be won, a war that we have already lost. A war that was begun because George W. Bush wanted to go play war president and wanted to strut around on an aircraft carrier deck and declare mission accomplished. God, it gags your gut. And there's another fellow, what's his name here? Jeremiah Adler. Jeremiah Adler. 18 years old. He joined the Army thinking that he could help change its culture. Idealist. Catch him. Get him on the net. Within days of arriving for his basic training at Fort Benning, Georgia, he realized he'd made a mistake and said the Army simply wanted to turn him into a, quote, ruthless, cold-blooded killer. He begged to be sent home and even pretended to be gay to be discharged. Eventually, he and another recruit fled in the night and rang the hotline. They told him to turn himself in to avoid court-martial, and he's going to be given an, quote, other than honorable discharge. Now, see, that kind of makes my skin crawl a little bit. Not wanting to slaughter people for no good reason is less than honorable. Gotta wonder what kind of country we live in that qualifies someone like that. He said, Mr. Adler did, Jeremiah Adler, he said, it was obviously a horrible experience, but now I'm glad I went through it. I was expecting to meet a whole lot of different types of people. Some had noble reasons. I also met a lot of people who wanted to kill Arabs. In one letter home to his family, Mr. Adler wrote that when he arrived, he was horrified by the things he heard other recruits talking about. Things that in civilian life would result in someone being treated as an outcast. Care to guess? Sand N-word. Camel jockey. Haji.
I joined up because I want to go there and kill me some Hajis. Kind of got to lead them when you shoot.
That's what, look. The military is no place for a pacifist. The military is no place for someone who wants to end war. The military is a good place for someone who does not mind the idea of going and killing people. For whatever reason or no reason. Alfred Lord Tennyson, charge of the Light Brigade, ours is not to question why, ours but is but to do and die. Onward rode the 400 into the valley of death. Yeah, that kind of thing. Brother. Jeremy Heinzman, 26 years old, reservist with the 82nd Airborne Division, served in Afghanistan. He went AWOL after his unit was ordered to Iraq. Took his wife and child and went to Canada, hoping to be welcomed, as were the 50,000 or so young Americans who sought refuge north of the border to avoid the Vietnam War. The Canadian Immigration and Refugee Board refused him refugee status. Mr. Heinzman said, we were told that we would be going to Iraq to jack up some terrorists. We were told it was a new kind of war, that these were evil people and they had to be dealt with. We were told to consider, listen carefully, we were told to consider all Arabs as potential terrorists, to foster an attitude of hatred that gets your blood boiling. What was the story we had a few months ago, the man who'd come back who went into a homicidal rage just because he saw an Arabic cabbie. That's what trying to play war with human lives does. That's what entering into wars that have nothing remotely resembling justice or decency does. Campaigners have also drawn attention to often scurrilous tactics used by U.S. military recruiters who for 3 months have failed to meet their targets for recruits. After several cases, and we talked about them here, where recruiters had illegally covered up recruits' criminal and medical records, threatened one prospect with jail for failing to meet an appointment, and provided another with laxatives to help him lose weight and pass a physical. Well, the Pentagon's shutting down all recruiting on May 20th for a day of retraining and rethinking. This is a broken military. This is a military that was broken by a gang of Republican punks who thought they were going to make a profit out of this, because profit, remember, is God. Mammon is God. That green, wrinkly stuff in your wallet. Not my idea, not my favorite idea for an idol, but it certainly is to them. These same people who talk about putting the Ten Commandments in every school, in every public building, are busy engaging in a level of idol worship that would shock a Sumerian. They at least had the common decency to worship a statue. These people are just walking around worshiping stuff in people's pockets. You know, let's see, I got something. Yeah, it's payday. Hold on. Yep, there it is. Hear the Republican idol? Let's see, this particular idol coming out of my head has got Andrew Jackson's picture. Now, they're even fonder of Benjamin Franklin as an idol. Not his thoughts, not his words, not the things he said. Things like a people who would surrender some security for some liberty will have neither. No. Just the mere picture of him on some green paper is what they worship. And we impeached a man because he had a girlfriend. And yet a lie, well, a lie that gets 1,600 Americans killed, it was the CIA's fault. It was all the CIA's fault. War will be a last resort. Because if you recall, I forget which magazine it was, but it was March of 2002 when a head was stuck into a conference room in the White House and someone was asking, what about Saddam? And our moral values president said, F Saddam, we're taking him out. Now that was March of 2002, a year before the war. By July 2002, we were having meetings with the British and telling them that the evidence was being fixed. The evidence was being fixed. Never mind, God bless America. When you fall on your knees and do your praying, you say, God forgive America. Big darkness soon come. Jeff has called back. Hey, Jeff, your head on. Yo, Jeff.
Hello.
Hey.
What was the title of that article?
Which article?
The one you was reading from? The Independent?
The Deserters. AWOL Crisis Hits the U.S. Forces.
AWOL Crisis Hits the U.S. Forces. Well, it's not really a crisis.
No, special. Well, you know, how would you know, Jeff? Are you in the military?
No, but I can do research and figure out the numbers, and that's
but you
what
can't
I do
go, but
before
you,
I go
but
report.
But you can't go join the military. I mean, if you're going to get on here and defend something about the military, you're old enough. I mean, you're not past the age to sign up, right?
That's not the issue here.
Oh yeah, it is, because
yeah,
you're another armchair Jeff. You're another one of these armchair patriots who wants to just
mean anything,
you know, yada yada yada. Everything's grand and glorious in Iraq. Someday we're going
to
have a democracy in Iraq. What? No. I'm not busted, Jeff. You're busted. You're the hypocrite. You're the one who wants to talk about how glorious it is over there, but you're scared, lily-livered, yellow chicken, sitting in your chair, afraid to go and put your rear end where your mouth wants to go.
How many times you ever put a uniform on?
Never did.
Okay.
Never desired to.
Well,
never defended a war either, Jeff.
Or
a warmonger.
In 2000, there were 9,269 AWOLs. In 2004, your article, 5133. The numbers are way, way down. It's far from a crisis. This is a misleading article, misrepresentation.
Yeah. Okay, because you've got so much credibility because you've been there and you've walked the walk and talked the talk. Sorry, Jeff.
Google AWOL numbers from the military.
Google, whatever.
You ought to do a little research before you put out misrepresentation.
There's no misrepresentation there. Are you saying that Jeremy Heinzman is not real? Are you saying that Sergeant Kevin Benderman is not real? Is this more of this business where if you don't believe it, it isn't real, Jeff?
The title of the article is AWOL Crisis. It's not an AWOL crisis. The numbers have been going down on AWOLs for 6 or 7 years.
Okay, so it's not a crisis because you declare it to be one. Jeff, one of these days we are going to have to get you into that high school freshman debating class.
But this is, it was 9,000 under Clinton, and now it's 5,000. Now a British newspaper, we have to do like the liberal judges and go overseas to get news.
Okay, Jeff, that's one I'm not going to let you get away with. Which liberal judge are you talking about? Call him by name, Jeff.
Listen.
Call him by name, Jeff.
Listen.
Call him by name.
I don't care.
Which liberal judge was it? You want to talk about liberal judges? Let's test your knowledge. You're all about your Google. Which liberal judge was it? Answer the question.
A liberal judge is Ruth Bader
Ginsburg. No. Which liberal judge went looking around for international law?
Ruth Bader
Ginsburg. Wrong, Jeff. Once again, I've played you for the fool. It was Anthony Kennedy. Do you know about Anthony Kennedy, Jeff?
He's a liberal.
No, he's a Republican. He's a Reagan appointee.
So if you're
you lose, you lose again. Yep.
You don't
Anthony
go by,
Kennedy.
You
Anthony
don't,
Kennedy.
You don't go by who appoints you. You go by your actions and your demeanor and what you say.
Okay. So all the times that he has sided with Antonin Scalia and Slappy Thomas, he has been a liberal, right?
You just said name a liberal judge, Ruth Bader.
No, I said name the liberal judge that used that you're claiming uses international law.
I said Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
That's not Ruth Bader Ginsburg. That's Anthony Kennedy that wrote that opinion. That was Anthony Kennedy, right? Jeff, doggone it, you know, that was not Ruth Bader Ginsburg. That was Anthony Kennedy writing the majority opinion in the case regarding the execution of juveniles.
She said that following strict adherence to the Constitution is oftentimes too cumbersome. She does. She says she sees no problem with going to international law to find
You're licked case again.
President.
It was Anthony Kennedy in the opinion regarding the execution of minors who reached out for a citation to international law.
Well, he
was the guy who was appointed in the place of Robert Bork when his nomination was rejected, Jeff.
You said name a liberal judge.
No, I said name the liberal judge, Jeff. I said name the liberal judge. They. But it was still your blessed, sweet, loving, conservative Republican who did it.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg talks about this stuff all the time. She's liberal she can be, because I hear her quotes all the time.
Yeah, okay, but it was Anthony Kennedy who wrote the opinion that you've drunk the Republican Kool-Aid without bothering to learn the background of
Stephen
it.
Breyer
once again,
doesn't
Jeff.
Do it either, does he?
What about Stephen Breyer?
He doesn't look at international law. He wouldn't dare do that, would he?
Well, see, okay, here you are talking about things you have no knowledge of whatsoever. Once again, Jeff.
I know.
Tell me about international law. Tell me about which part of international law that is that you find so offensive.
I do. I follow.
You don't know diddly about international law. Now just go ahead and confess it.
I follow the Constitution. I don't care.
Jeff, I doubt if you've ever even read the Constitution from cover to cover.
I've not read every word of it.
Well, then how in the hell can you follow it?
Because
you believe in it, just like you believe in Tinkerbell, and you believe that everything's going to be rosy in Iraq, and they'll have a little meeting, and they'll have a little rally for George Bush to stand in Freedom Square and sing God Bless Iraq. You know, it's all this believing that gets you in trouble, Jeff.
Well, you know, it says under Section 4 in Amendment 14, you know, the one that Byrd doesn't like,
I'm not going to let you get away with that nasty little bit of racism, Jeff.
All right.
We understand you're a racist. You're a Republican, okay? It comes with the turf. But I'm not going to let you play the Sheets Bird business here, because that man has forgotten more constitutional law than you, sir, will ever know in your life. Do you understand that?
Now,
Article 14 is in the Constitution, and there is not a blessed bit of evidence to suggest that Robert Byrd has anything but the highest regard for the entire body of the document. Had you seen him giving Bill the Cat Killer Frist down the road on, Thursday? Yeah, Thursday, you would know that.
Because he didn't stand up for principles of the Democratic Party. He didn't stand up for principles of the Republican Party, Jeff. He stood up for the time-honored principles since, I believe he noted, 1805 of the United States Senate, neither Democrat nor Republican, but for the rights of the Senate to engage in unlimited debate because it is, in fact, a forum of the states.
The House of Representatives also used to have the filibuster, and it was said that when they revoked and changed that rule, that it would kill the House of Representatives as well.
And when was that, Jeff?
That was about 100 years ago.
No, what year?
You tell me.
No. You're the one that brought it up.
I read it.
Sorry, you can't cite it. You read it somewhere. What? Free Republic, Jeff?
Did
we thought you were going to Free Republic.
Did the House of Representatives used to have the filibuster?
Huh?
Did the House of Representatives used to have the filibuster?
Jeff, I did not bring the issue up. We were talking about the United States Senate. Deal with the issue. You know, you try to slide away from what I'm pinning you to the wall on. But the thing is, because you know you're losing, okay?
You don't know
anything about. See, this started with me asking you about international law, and you can't even confess that you don't know what international law was being cited.
I don't want to know about international
law. Right, because you're
about American law.
Right, American law. American law. Did you know that American law is based on international law, Jeff? No, of course not.
When we wrote the Constitution, there was nothing. You have to take things.
Wrong, Jeff. Wrong again. Good God, the level of ignorance that you display is sometimes stunning, Jeff. Did you not know that the entire body of American law comes from that of English jurisprudence? Of course not.
You didn't have anything to start with. You have to take something to begin with from somewhere. But on these modern decisions.
Oh, these modern decisions.
We don't go over there and look at how they're doing. Like in gay marriage, where there's only three...
Because you hate the queers. Okay, now you're a racist and a gay marriage. And
populous,
care to go for strike three, Jeff?
Provinces in Canada and two other countries in the world are the only five places that you can have gay marriage, but Massachusetts wants to try...
Jeff, let me help you out. Let me help you out real quick. It's Massachusetts. The pronunciation of the word is Massachusetts, okay?
Well,
not Massachusetts, no. No. I'm not dodging anything. You are dealing with... listen, you're displaying this to an international... You're displaying this to an international audience, Jeff. You don't know anything about international law. You can't even cite the international law that was allegedly relied on in the case regarding the execution of juveniles. You're pitiful, Jeff.
What three provinces in Canada has gay marriage?
We weren't talking about gay marriage, Jeff. We were talking about international law, and I'm still waiting for you to cite the international law that Anthony Kennedy relied on, but as usual, you try to weasel away from the stuff that you're getting your rear end handed to you on. I'm out of time, Jeff. I'll talk to you later. Did you ever hear the old saying that sometimes it is better to remain silent and be thought an idiot than to open your mouth and prove it? Jeff, it's one you need to learn, buddy. These liberal judges with their international law, the liberal judge that the little wingnut pervert Republicans are howling about is a Republican conservative. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, same time, you'll be here, I'll be here. The show tonight produced, of course, by the indefatigable, intrepid Jesse Fulmer. Engineered by Randy Kerbway. Announced at least in part by Brian Reznor. Thanks, Brian. And brought to you as ever by the 20,000 workers of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, indeed they are working for you. Also brought to you by our very, very good friends at the West Virginia Pipe Trades. I like to think that your safety is their business. And, of course, as I mentioned before, the show is archived every night by Ben Birch at whiterosesociety.org. He does an awful lot of good work, and he's in a fundraising mode at this point in time. If you use the service, thank him the way that it matters. Hey, Agnes!
Let's I'm